The Resolution Foundation is a think tank which focuses on those on low and modest incomes. James Plunkett is the secretary to its Commission on Living Standards.
This is a thing that's not widely known, that in the lead up to the recession, from about 03 to 08, we saw almost no wage growth in the middle and below in the UK economy, despite the fact that the economy grew by 11% in that period. Then clearly the recession hits and you see people's wages fall, but that fall that has happened post the recession is really a problem on top of a problem.
Whilst wages for those in the middle and at the bottom of the earnings ladder began to stagnate in 2003, this was just the culmination of a much longer shift in the economy. Since the 1980s, median wages, the wages earned by those in the middle, have been failing to keep up with productivity. That is to say, as the economy has become better at producing output over the last three decades, the gains from this efficiency haven't fed through to those in the middle and below. One way to think about this is to consider the so-called wage share. Stuart Lansley is a research fellow at Bristol University and the author of The Cost of Inequality.
The wage share is basically the share of the total output in the economy that goes to the workforce in the form of wages. And essentially what has happened over the last 30 years is that share, the wage share, has been shrinking. So the share of the economic pie, if you like, is going to the workforce as a whole. It's smaller now than it was 30 years ago. And this is in contrast to what happened in the immediate post-war decades when that share stayed roughly constant. So, you know, the gains from growth in the 30 years after the war were divided more or less equally. Since then, essentially, the workforce have been separated from the proceeds of growth. They haven't shared equally in the proceeds of growth and at an accelerating rate.
So what's behind this pressure on wages for most of us while the rich have got richer? The two most common explanations from economists are globalisation and technology. Many of the gains from increased productivity and economic growth have disproportionately gone into company profits and the pockets of top earners. This challenges those who believe that improving productivity is the best way to ensure higher wages for all.
It's a fallacy to think that increasing productivity automatically leads to increasing wages. If you look at manufacturing productivity, it's gone up much faster globally than service productivity. But that doesn't mean that manufacturing wages have gone up in the West, because those jobs are now often done by people earning much less in East Asia.
Alongside technology, the other major structural change in the economy since the 1970s has been the impact of globalisation.
Essentially, what's occurred as a result of the opening up of the world economy is that something like a couple of billion workers have just joined the world economy.
Roger Bootle is the Managing Director of Capital Economics.
The result of that, not surprisingly, is downward pressure on real incomes. And again, downward pressure on particular sorts of real incomes of people who are in competition, effectively, with unskilled or lowly skilled people in emerging markets.
But is globalisation as important a factor as some claim it is?
I think people often go straight to globalisation as the kind of key driver of a lot of these trends. I think it can be overstated.
James Plunkett from the Resolution Foundation.
For example, I'd point to the fact that a lot of the jobs in Britain that we're really worried about in these kind of conversations are in actually non-traded sectors. These are sectors where we're not really talking about competing with China and India. You know, jobs aren't being outsourced to India.
You can't get your hair cut in China.
You can't get your hair cut in China. Likewise, hotels. You can't. An Indian worker from India cannot change a bed in a hotel room in London. And so these jobs aren't really jobs that are being outsourced to India and China, and yet are huge jobs. Very badly paying jobs. Similarly, social care is a big example. Care for the elderly in Britain is not going to happen from China. And so this is a really big part of the picture, and it's not really just down to globalisation, I think.
For Stuart Lansley, politics is one missing ingredient.
There were a series of acts in the 1980s that weakened the power of unions, and regulations were taken off business, particularly in relation to the labour market, which gave business more power. So effectively what happened was that balance shifted. Industry had a lot more power.
Another phrase that keeps cropping up to explain what has happened to wages is the concept of shareholder value. This idea suggests that in the 1980s, the way corporations were run changed as they became more exposed to pressure from financial markets and concerned by their share price. Stuart Lansley again.
In the 1950s and 1960s, we had a very, very different model of capitalism, in which the share price and profit were both key drivers of business activity, but only one of them. So relationships with the staff, relationships with the community, the role they played in society worked hand in hand. But what happened then, a lot of those extra responsibilities and social responsibilities that companies accepted were all ditched.